Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Final unfolding days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, they will pour out my spirit on those who are serving me, men and women, old and young, and they will declare the word of the Lord. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And everyone who receives their message will be saved. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Everybody said amen. Agree with me. Father, thank you as we begin this year, 2017, that, Lord, we don't miss anything that you have for us. Let there be just a sense of expectation. Lord, we're going to learn even today as the prophets are speaking throughout this land and around the world that 2017 is a very, very important year. And Lord, we declare that we will be in sync with you so that we can walk and experience what you purposed for us and for this nation. We claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. How many people, 2017 is going well so far?
Yes.
How many people know it that the enemy did not want you in church today? He didn't want me in. Got up in the truck, had a flat tire yesterday. Got up, the engine was dead. I got a call at 3 o'clock last night. It wasn't for me. Just let somebody in their nice, wonderful way decided to send out an emergency thing that it was going to flood. 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. When my phone goes off at 3 o'clock in the morning, it could have, you know, first thing I do is I start praying. The second thing I do is not get back to sleep again. So it's going to be a good one. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be a good one this morning. 2016, as you remember, we heard that God needs you. In 2017, we move from, and I want you to listen to this, God needs you to God using you. Extremely important. I don't know why my lines are off. And by the way, we do know that our website is down. I'm very sad for that, but we will get it back up as quickly as possible. So from God needs you in 2016 to God using you in 2017, we begin again, we lead into the releasing the miraculous in 2017. As I said, and here I slipped again, our focus for this year of 2017 is releasing the power of God through your life. Something happens to a Christian who makes himself, herself available to be used by God to release the power of God through. Many of you have experienced already, but I'll tell you something. An intimate connection with God comes and it heightens our relationship when we say, Lord, I make myself available for you. And I'm going to tell you this morning why this is so important. As I said, I told you at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year, we seek the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you have? What is the theme that you have for 2017 this year? So my next messages are going to be very prophetic. And what that means is I want us to understand that we are in prophetic times. The Lord is revealing some very important truths for us. and for the church corporately. So what I'm doing is I'm going to be speaking about things to come that the Lord has put on my heart and the hearts of prophets around this nation and other pastors for us to be aware of. How many know that ignorance is not bliss, right? We don't want to be walking through this place ignorant. Scripture says, my people are perishing for a lack of knowledge. Well, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in that way so we can understand how this is so important. Now, let me ask, why do I say that we are in prophetic times? Let me say that Scripture, when you read it, it talks about the end times. Now, we don't know. Don't get afraid for those that are listening online or here. Oh, I don't want it to be the end times. I want it to be the beginning. Well, let me tell you, the end times does not mean that it's going to end tomorrow. We don't know the times. But we do know that when in the end times, there's going to be an incredible manifestation of the power of God and the presence of God. So we can bask in the fact that when God says the end times, there is a sense of God's provision. And I'm going to share some promises with you in just a moment. But Scripture points out that in the end times, we will begin to see wars and rumors of wars. When you look at, I just put a big check by there, with ISIS, the things that are going in Syria, North Korea, even the wars that are going on in the United States here with the incredible invasion of fear. That's the spirit of fear is literally a war, attempt on war to God's people. So when we see China and Russia, rumors of war, what about earthquakes? Let me tell you, in 2016, there were 14,471 earthquakes. There were 1,500 over 5 on the Richter scale. And in California, there were 7,000 earthquakes in 2016. So we put a big check by that one. How about famine? In the last days, in the end days, it says there's going to be famine around the world. 1 out of 8 people do not have enough food. 34 million children suffer malnutrition, and 1 million die this past year. 1 million because of famine. Persecution. Let me just share something. Christians are the most persecuted religion on the face of this earth. 90,000 were killed for their beliefs this year in 2016, or last year. 6 million were prevented from practicing their faith in 2016. 600 million Christians. It's amazing, the persecution. We look at other religions and we think that they're the most persecuted. The Christians are. You know why we are the most persecuted? Because the enemy knows that the Christians are the one that carry the power. We're the one that have the truth. What about this one that we talked about? The nations of the world will turn away from Israel. Under Obama's presidency, the first time, and I've mentioned this before for those who have not heard it, the first time our nation turned away from Israel. And the vote last week, remember that? When we did not veto the UN's attempt to push Israel out of their land and the Palestinians in, let me make it clear to you again. There will never be peace in Israel. It's not going to happen. So we can pray. We are to pray for the peace of Israel, but that land will never come under peace because it is scripturally sound that if there's any other people in that land, they are not to be there. This is God's people's land. And the Palestinians, by the way, do not want peace. They have been offered. So I'm not against it, but let me tell you something. God is. We're not putting the Arabs down or any, but we understand what's going on. And this nation has turned away from Israel. the signs and wonders. We're seeing all kinds of the miracles that are going all around the world. And I happen to think that Trump winning the presidency was a miracle. I believe that. And I'll tell you something, the devil doesn't like it. He is angry and he's fighting. You know that there's going to be 5,000 of the National Guard, 5,000 are going to be deployed for the inauguration. It's like a war zone. Hollywood is on fire. And they hate it. And every time the enemy is angry, I get happy. Let me share some more things with you this morning. 2017 has presented us with a dynamic change in the spiritual dynamics, the dramatic change in the dynamics of this country. Again, this is what's being offered. This is what we're since coming down the pike, the alignment of biblical principles, where we don't have to have our principles, our biblical principles taken away from us. The whole understanding, you know, it just, it keeps getting, once the enemy is allowed to come in, he will get worse and worse. He never stays the same. I just found out that over in Europe, someone's going to marry their robot. Marry a robot. I also have found that now it's being opened up to marry your animals. Some lady married her cat, and they had a big ceremony. But you know the greatest thing, one of the most unusual things that I've seen happen in the last week? Talk about unusual. How perverted can mankind think up? Been led by the enemy. You can now marry yourself. Yeah. Honest to goodness truth, I would never lie to you. You can actually have a ceremony where you marry yourself. You can't, all kinds of, yeah, absolutely. You know, here I am. I don't know who takes out the garbage and who washes the clothes or whatever it might be, but you're certainly going to lose the argument, aren't you, when you start arguing? But literally, how far will man go to be able to think up these incredible? And the Bible says that the foundations of the structures have already been cracked. So when there is no barriers, then there's no barriers. Do you understand why the enemy does not like the Bible? He doesn't like the Christians. He doesn't like any kind of parameters. Because when we move the barriers away, then we can do whatever we want, right? If there are no Ten Commandments, then there's no Ten Commandments. You do your thing. If it feels good to you, just don't bother me with it. But what happens is, and be aware of it, and I'm sure you are, where we have flipped our whole process is that we've allowed the minority to direct the majority. This was a nation that looked after the minority, but it became a place where the minority literally started to dictate and set the rules for the majority. Such a deal. But things are going to change, folks. Religious freedom. I believe very strongly, like we saw the video from last year, the end of it, that there is going to be a profound move of the Lord in the White House. I say that because the prophets have spoken. There are many that have told that Trump, is about ready to blow a trump. That's the trumpet in the Old Testament. And I believe that Donald Trump, and again, we're looking at this again from a spiritual side, not political side, that he's going to facilitate again what this nation was built upon, re-emphasizing the Constitution. What we've been founded upon. Can you imagine? Well, I don't want to go on a bunny trail. The alignment with Israel. 2017 has offered a change in the spiritual atmosphere for America. A doorway has been opened. And the reason I say that, and the reason I'm going to emphasize it, there is a stewardship that we have in this nation, for this nation. Turn to somebody and say, it's everything is spiritual. It all has to do with spiritual foundations, spiritual activity. It's all based on the yin and the yang. Either it is or it's not. And what's going to happen is you're going to be hearing that the in-between places are going to be removed. We used to call those gray areas. Either serve God or serve the enemy. Well, isn't that being too dramatic, Pastor? It's truth. And you're going to have to serve somebody. I'm encouraging us, and you're going to do it if I have to follow you home. We're going to serve God this year. And I'm going to share with you, share some things that should get you excited. We have the doorway that has been opened for the church to reestablish this direction for this nation. Let me share some insights with you. This door is being opened for a move of the Holy Spirit. The prophesying of preparation and equipping for 2016, now we're going to see in 2017, it's going to be realized. I was banging on the drum along with many other pastors last year. God wants us to be equipped. He wants us to take advantage of this opportunity to be able to change things around. I'm excited about it, so my grandkids don't have to go and have bathrooms offered to them, whatever bathroom you want. I don't want to see in the military, which I come from, where you can have transgender in it and all have the government pay for your sex change. We have seen through the social manipulation of this country, where our military, which is the foundational principle of protection in this land for us, it's become a social mixture, an experiment. Now you don't have to wear a hat. You can wear a turban in a uniform. You don't have to, there's so many things that are going on. And you go back and you say, my gracious Lord, will we ever be able to turn things back around? This is not a negative thing, by the way. It's just a check of reality. Turn to somebody and say, it's all spiritual. I don't know what you can do when you're out in the firing line, you got a turban in your head. What kind of helmet you got to wear for that? And don't you know that I would say that if you saw somebody with a turban as an Arab, that means you're a traitor and you get shot first. And I don't believe in putting women on the front lines. It's been proven that they're vulnerable. And I come from, military background with tactics and training, and they're tremendously gifted. I have nothing against women. In fact, I was one of the first pastors that says I believe that women should be ministering from the pulpit. That was never, that was taboo. And I know some women that are more anointed than I ever can expect to be. It has nothing to do. Women were not made to fight on the front lines. And we have taken this social experiment and we've watered things down. And what's happening is we become vulnerable. The Lord has redirected the downward spiral of this nation, and the United States of America again will be a major impact to this nation. Let me share something else with you. You know that in Scripture, numbers symbolize or represent other. In the Jewish language, every Jewish letter represents a number. So there are symbols that represent numbers. One represents God. Two represents unity. Number three, the number three represents the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number four is a symbol of the earth. Number five, what is five? Said it all last year. Five is the number of grace. Six is the number of man. 666, devil, man. What's number seven? It's the number of perfection. That's Jesus' number. You want to know what 17 represents? How many people want to know what 17 represents? Someone told me, I think Todd told me, if you add it up, it goes to 17. Add up all the numbers, they're 17, right? Today. 17 represents overcoming the enemy and complete victory. If we understand that we are not in a political battle, that we are in a spiritual battle, everything, whether it be husband and wife, whether it be parents with kids, whether it be, it's all from a spiritual basis. You allow the Spirit of God to be the dominant thing in your marriage or your household, you've got peace in the land. You allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that guides and directs you, you will be victorious in everything that you do. You will have peace. The Holy Spirit is the one that is to guide and direct every aspect of our lives. That's why when we do premarital counseling, the first thing we're talking about is the Lord, getting the Lord into your relationship, preparing you to be able to use the Holy Spirit and raising kids in every aspect. I just had one of the people that I'm ministering to, he said he works for a non-Christian company, and by that I mean there's no Christians. He prayed for 6 months, and he let me know that next week they all agreed to take a trip up to Bethel. Non-Christians, that's a church up in Reading, very powerful church. And he says, Pastor, would you believe with me that our company, who is a startup, will be transformed by the power of God? You get the Spirit of God into your company. Let me tell you something. How many people want to see some spiritual breakthrough this year? How many people would like to KBBT, right? How many people would like to see yourself set free from some of the challenges that we are dealing with? You have never been offered to be a bigger threat to the enemy as long as I've known you. Because we are now in this place where the Lord's saying, I've opened a doorway for you. And I want to bang on this thing so that we are anticipating it. Complete victory. Now is the time, as I said, to move for the Christians, to move from this political understanding. What has happened there, we let down our guard. And I sort of gave you a hard time last year. Really. We let down our guard. And we allowed, if you understand it, that the spiritual principle is what drives everything. And we have been asleep at the wheel. No power in hell can defeat you. No power in hell can come against what you believe in. Greater is he that is within us, me, than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in our marriage than he that is against our marriage, our kids. Then why in hell did we allow hell to invade our country? There's nobody else going to fight the enemy. They don't even know that the enemy exists. Who was asleep at the wheel? The Church of Jesus Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit to live within us, to equip us so that we can do the work of kicking hell out of this nation. Anybody agree with me? How then, if we are in the authority, the highest place of authority, what happened at least these last 10 years where we have allowed this country to be literally redefined? Remember, I'm talking from a prophetic stance right now. We cannot allow it to go on, and the Church of Jesus Christ is being summoned to stand up and take our rightful place again. And I'm not talking about you getting out, standing on a bridge somewhere, throwing leaflets out or banging on people's heads or whatever. I'm saying that we as Christians, if we want to take back the definition of marriage, we want our marriages to be examples so that the world can say, I want to be married like them. I want my marriage like them. I want my children to be raised up. Look at the way these children live. Look how disciplined or whatever the children, but look at this family. That's how you're going to witness. To be that example that says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm saying to you that God wants to anoint us. He needs us. And he wants to use us. I can't wait to... In fact, I'm doing a lot of premarital counseling, and I love it. And the reason I love it, because I know that God is preparing these couples in a time where he wants to bless them so that they can reach out and touch their sphere of influence. Turn to somebody and say, you have never been more powerful than we are right now. It's time for us to rise up and lay hold of the doorway which we've been offered here in America. Let me share some more. It says here, Colossians 4:3 says this. The Apostle Paul says, pray for us so that God may open a doorway for our message. Hosea 2:15 says, I will return, and I'm using America, her vineyards, which is the economics, the spiritual fruitfulness, to her and transfer her from a valley of trouble, discouragement, loss. How many people were discouraged last year? How many people would have had an absolute, just horrendous 2017 if the election didn't go the way we thought it would be? We wanted to. And I'm not political. I know the spiritual side. I evaluated the spiritual side on this side, and I evaluated the spiritual side on this. And let me tell you, they don't line up. They don't line up. And what we see in this thing is God wants to turn that discouragement, which has caused the church to fold, right? That's why the message now at the beginning of the year is one of hope, one of expectancy, one of challenge. Because we have lived so much in discouragement, we've basically been just saying, whatever. And I told you that's not a good answer. Whatever. Well, whatever is straight from hell. So, God wants to change that doorway into a place of prosperity, of physically and spiritually. We saw that a doorway in Scripture means a portal. It means exiting from the past, an entering into the new. But let me tell you something. Today, in 2017, we are entering into a prophetic doorway. We're walking through a prophetic doorway. God never does anything without telling the prophets. When the prophets begin to speak, that's when God's about ready to move. Some of you are not aware of the prophetic portion or the understanding of the prophetic. We're going to share more about it with you. But we are entering into a prophetic doorway. Let me show you what a prophetic doorway is. A prophetic doorway is a time where the Lord releases special grace and favor to provide breakthrough and breakout spiritually and physically. That's what a spiritual doorway is. It can be everything from finances. How many people would like to have a breakthrough in finances this year? Right? How many people have all the funds that they need? How many people would love to have a breakthrough in peace in their life? How many people would like to have a breakthrough in their marriage or in their relationship with God? How many people would like to be married this year? You did, but you weren't the only one. But it's also, not only business, not only health, but for ministry. Do you know that the reason why you're here sucking up air is because your calling is to be a minister?
Yep.
Well, who am I, Pastor? You are who you are because you are a child of God filled with the Holy Spirit. I've told you before, you're not going to take widgets into heaven. There's no need for electricity wiring up there. Or any of the other things that you guys, the weather reports are on. There's no software that's necessary. Symantec is not going to be up there. It's going to be who you are and what you have done on earth. That's what you're taking with you.
Amen.
Can you understand why the enemy wants to have you asleep at the wheel? Because you can't stop him if you've got your, if you're sitting on your Holy Spirit. And as I said, you listen, you watch. The controversy, the attacks against the president, against the new regime, you watch. Listen to Hollywood. Listen to what's going on. In fact, do you know that they're going to have an anti-inauguration shindig? There are people that, I've been watching the news, people who have had almost nervous breakdowns because the election went... Because the Lord says, I have called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we look and we say, God, who me? Well, I spent a whole lot of time last year telling who you were. And I don't care whether you feel like it, whether it tastes right, whether your hair is right, you are a child of God, and God is expecting you to release the Spirit of God through your life.
Amen.
And when you do, watch the benefits of it. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. Let me show you some just quickly. How are we doing? We're still in 2017. Let me share with you some prophetic breakthrough doorways. God made a covenant with Abraham. That was a prophetic breakthrough. He calls Abraham out and says, you are about ready to start a mighty nation. Walk through the door. And he did. And he says, look at the stars. That's the number of children that you will have. That was a doorway, a prophetic doorway that Abraham walked through. How about in Judges? When you look at Judges, the Israel would abandon God, and they would literally, the enemy, the inhabitants of the land would manipulate them and put them in bondage and all do all kinds of things, suppress them. God would raise up a prophetic doorway and a judge, and he would turn everything around. I always thought this was a cool one. Joshua is fighting the Amorites. And they're losing, they're running out of time. God says, I want you to prophesy to the sun. Tell it to stand still. How you like that? He prophesied to the sun. He said, stand still, we need more light until we wipe these people out. Do you know that they look at the records? I don't know how far they went back and found out that there literally was a glitch in the cycle of the unfolding of the days and the weeks and the months. Something happened. And they were able to prove at that time that the sun actually stopped. That was a prophetic window to be able to wipe out the Amorites. Also, Jesus' birth. How many know that Jesus coming down on this earth was a prophetic window or a doorway to establish the kingdom of God? How about the day of Pentecost? The day of Pentecost was a prophetic window, a doorway that the disciples, it's the beginning of the church. And the power of God came upon them, and they walked through the doorway, and everything was changed. Paul on the road to Damascus, and our experiences in renewal. We literally were praying, and God opened a doorway that Sunday morning, and the rest was history. We saw, had we not stepped through that doorway. I told you, when the Lord said for me, I want you to follow on this way, he said, you're the fourth one I've asked. The other three have turned me down. And I said, who am I, Lord? I'm going where you want to go. He said, I'm going this way. Which way are you going? And remember, pastors like to have nice churches. We didn't have a nice church anymore. We had a church where the Spirit of God was moving and people were getting healed and all kinds of manifestation. Had I not said yes to that doorway, I could have taken the church off on a tangent. But thank the Lord that I am stuck on spirit and not on stupid. And the Lord said to me, I want you to be able to allow me to move freely in, and he did. It was a prophetic doorway. Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say prophetic doorway? We are entering a season where God wants to raise up the church, that's you, to release the kingdom of God. That's miraculous, miracles. He wants you, he wants us. I'm going to prove it to you. How many people want to be able to release miracles to their lives? And I don't mean the kind where people raised from the dead or all those kind of stuff. That might happen. That's the only miracle I've not seen. I haven't seen or heard about it. Never saw anybody raised from the dead. I've seen cancers. I've seen all manifestations. I've seen mostly dead people being raised from the mostly dead. Princess Bride? Sorry. You'll have to listen to it on the thing. I can't repeat it again. I'll get off on a tangent. Mostly dead. God, but let me tell you something. You know what a miracle is? A miracle is, how can you get through this situation and the challenges that we're going through, and I see peace within you? How does your marriage stay together when all these things that are going around? How do you do that? How do your kids, all the other kind of, here's a miracle. Let me tell you something. I went through the same thing that you did. But I found out that I could have help. And I allowed Jesus Christ to come. We allowed Jesus Christ to come into our marriage. And it's not that it didn't transform things right away. But what we did is we allowed the Spirit of God to bring healing to us from the things of the past. We allowed the Holy Spirit to show us how to be sensitive to one another. How to deal with the challenges of life. I had a miracle happen in my life. Would you like a miracle in your life?
Yes.
Who would turn that down? No, I don't want to. I want to continue with our marriage falling apart and the kids doing this, whatever. You can't turn the people when they see it and you release it, a miracle can take place. So don't get into the woo-woo kind of stuff. I'm not talking about the woo-woo, even though you got a headache. In Jesus' name, I come against that fear, anxiety, whatever. I come against that spirit of divorce in your marriage. I come against that spirit of hostility. I come against that rebellious spirit in your child or whatever it might be. I come against spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. You know you're allowed to do that. You know that you're allowed to pray for your marriage? Do you know that you're allowed to pray for your children? Do you know you're allowed to pray for your pastor?
Yes, every night.
Do you know that you're allowed to be able to call on the very presence and power of God? Now, when I heard that for the first time, I got God bumps all over me. And you guys are just sitting back there like you knew it all. But we are not only hearers, what we're doing?
We're doers
of the word. God's waiting for an opportunity to get into your life, to get in through your prayers. He's looking for opportunities. In fact, Scripture says he looks to and fro all over the earth. What's he looking for? He knows where we are. God is not looking for people that can walk on water or that do walk on water. He's not looking for the hot shots. He's not looking for perfection. You know what he's looking for? Scripture says there's one thing. When God looks over the earth, he's looking to find faith. Faith. Where is someone that has faith that I can, that will believe me when I say, you can talk to that person? Where is someone that will believe me when I say, go ahead and pray for them, or go ahead and be that example, or go ahead and step through that door? Without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. He's looking for one thing. Will you say, God, here I am. Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. How many people would say that? How many people would make themselves available if God says, I'm looking, I'm asking you to be my witness? They're taking notes up there, you know. The angels are writing your name down. Share some more with you. Unless, here, when I say the miraculous, unless these people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told them, they will never believe. That's why Christians have got to be on the verbal massages and start becoming doers of the word. Jesus says you have the right to be able to release the power of God into that situation. And some people are sick and tired of seeing Christians who are hypocrites confessing Christ and then asking somebody to invite them to church. How many times over the years, oh, those Christians are nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You know, I'd agree with them. It's to be a Christian is to be a Christian. To be a watered-down Christian is to be a non-Christian. You may be getting to heaven, but you're living like hell. God doesn't want people living like hell. He wants them to live in a way that causes other people to say, what do you got? You understand the prophetic side now? The Holy Spirit is stirring up the church. Go out and do a miracle. Watch what happens. Go out and say, Lord, I'm available for whatever you want to do today. And I have faith to believe that you're going to back me up. And I don't know what it is, God. But I'm going to work today, and I'm not going to allow that boss or whatever it might be to overwhelm me. I'm not going to walk in fear. I don't have to worry about a job situation or what they're going to think about me or whatever. I'm saying, Lord, I'm here because you want me here. And I can't take my widgets to heaven with me, so what am I here for? Amen or oh me or help. And God says, I called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And there's people, there's a person in your place over there that has been crying out for answers. And I've heard their voice. And their heart is broken and their marriage is falling apart and their kids are about ready to run away. And I've heard the cry. And they need help. And you're the only one that's close by. And I need you to step into that place and allow me to orchestrate things so that they can hear the answer from you. How many know that's the way God works? I've opened a door for you that no one can close. See, I am doing a new thing. Behold, it springs up now. Do you not perceive it? And I love this. You may be here today through this year of 2017 for the release of the kingdom of God through you that will be unique to anything else than anyone else could do. Or you know what? You would be gone. I don't believe that God leaves us here on earth when there's nothing more to do. So I've told you before, when you're in bed, remember that? That's still appropriate. Before you get out of bed, grab a hold of yourself. If you still feel yourself here, there's more to do. If you can't feel yourself, don't get out of bed. <laughs> 2017 is made for you, and you were made for 2017. In 2016, we said, God needs you. In 2017, God wants to use you. And I wrote this verse, Acts chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. And the Lord, listen, and the Lord confirmed their message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The wonderful thing about it is God's got to back you up. He will back you up. That's the reason I love to preach. I preach the Bible. He's got to back it up. But I know when I'm preaching the Bible, then he can back it up. And when you're living the Bible, and we know now, we know that it's not this religious kind of fanaticism. Just being Jesus. What would Jesus act like? What would he feel like inside? And what would he say? How hard is it? You want me to make it complicated? You want me to talk in religious, theological terms? How about if we just boil it down to act, feel, say? What would Jesus act like? What would he feel like inside? And then what would he say? I mean, I get my grandkids to understand that. Would Jesus be walking into a place angry and fearful and anxious? I don't think so. Would he be angry and frustrated and biting his nails and all kinds of things and envious and trying to outdo other people and all those kind of things? I don't think so. Would he tell them to go hanging on their beak?
Maybe.
Depends on it. What would he say? I don't think he'd pull over the office gossip and talk to her or him about them. I don't think he would allow a rumor to continue on when it came to him. I don't believe that he would stand there in the midst of the blue stuff atmosphere and not pull away. Act, feel, say. And there's only one way that that can happen. Your unique way yourself. Nobody is like you. Are you happy for that? I know I am. I don't need two of you. Got enough challenge with one of you. Tongue in cheek. There is something and a mission that God has created you for that no one else can do. How about that, Mr. and Mrs. Important? Miss Peon? Miss, I'm nothing to the kingdom of God. Who am I? I can understand you, Pastor, or I can understand this one, whatever. But who am I? You are absolutely the one that God fashioned for your sphere of influence. And I can't do it, and nobody can do it, because you have a revelation of God that no one else has. And that revelation, you know God in a way that no one else does. You know that? Well, know it. It's truth. And that revelation that is unique to you has been fashioned by God and placed in a situation so that you can come into that divine appointment and share what that person needs, however that ministry might be. Turn to somebody and say, God don't make no junk. And he confirmed it with signs and wonders. I'm going to get through this very quickly. Let me just share with you, I might have to go over this a little bit in another way next week. This, and I want to have this on our site. Here are some of the things that we're going to be dealing with this year. First of all, how to hear God. And I'm talking about from a deeper sensitivity for these times. How do you hear God? That's one of the questions that I've gotten thousands over the years. How do you hear God, Pastor? I know you hear him, but what about me? But it's so crucial during these times that we be able to discern what God is saying, what he's saying to you, making correct decisions in the process. I'm going to show you how, and for some of the old Christians, how God is tweaking that revelation of hearing for now, for this season. I'm going to also talk about understanding your personal spiritual gifts and how to use them. Do you know that you have been uniquely, as I just ran on that rampage just a few moments ago, you have been given spiritual gifts that are unique to you. Do you know that you've been given them for the purpose of using them? And some people haven't the foggiest idea what their spiritual gifts are. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, how do I know? Well, I'm going to tell you. How many people would like to know what your unique spiritual gifts are? Yes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, as I said before, once you find out what your spiritual gifts are, then you know what your spiritual gifts are not. And you don't try to somehow envy someone else because they can do this. That's not your gift. Also, how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And all of this is for this unique season that we're in, the opportunity. It's not the same as last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. There's a greater understanding because the scripture says that in the end times, the enemy is going to come in like a flood. He's going to come in like an angel of light. He's going to look like God. How about that? The angel is going to look like God, sound like God. This has got to be God. Anybody ever run into that kind of situation? Look good? Even tasted good? Then find out that it's not good? There's a way of knowing. Because it says that in the end times, even the saints, the elect, can be deceived. How many know God doesn't want the Christians walking around being deceived? There's fine-tuning that God is dealing with. You have the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit within you. All of them are operative. Have you ever gone and say, Lord, I don't know the answer to this situation. Would you please tell me? Or you've just said, maybe, well, I just sort of walk through and hopefully it comes up. Do you know that the gift of the word of knowledge is there for you to be able to know what God, what the situation is? That's the gift of the word of knowledge. Lord, what is it? Tell me, explain what's going on in here. He'll do it. Do you know the gift of the word of wisdom? You have that. You're sitting on it right now. The gift of the word of wisdom is now, Lord, that I know I understand. How am I supposed to deal with it? What am I supposed to do? Do you know that you're sitting on the gift of faith? Do you know you're sitting on the gift of miracles? You have everything that is necessary to be the most powerful person on the face of this earth through Christ. Anybody want to do it? Wouldn't that be cool 2017, walking around like strutting your stuff in the spirit, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Get out of my way, devil. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my kids. Get out of my office. Get out of my cubicle. Get out of everything. That's you. That's you. That's who you are. But it has to go beyond hearing it. How to defeat the enemy in the end times. Graduate study. I'm going to teach you how, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you. He's just going to use me. How's that? How to determine what is of God and what is not of God. The greatest thing that we're going to have to understand is the discerning of spirits. That is going to be the key gift that the Christians need to understand and operate in this year of 2017. We got to know what is of hell and what is not of hell. And we got to get hell out and heaven in. And if you don't know the difference, then a lot of people are just playing around with hell and can't understand why they stink like smoke. Right? I don't know where that came from, but that's pretty good though. How to pray and release miracles through your life and your sphere of influence. I'm going to show you how to pray for miracles. I did. I learned the hard way. You know what the hard way is? I just did it. Where is it? Let's pray here. In Jesus' name, boom. It happened. Remember, God is looking for not your pedigrees. He's not looking for your perfection. I got to come up with another P. He's not coming up. I'll think about that next time. He's looking for grace and faith. Here I am, Lord. I believe that this business in 2017 is going to be a place of peace, a place of prosperity, a place where your presence is there, a place, Lord, where we will walk in victory, not only economically, but emotionally. This marriage is going to be one filled with the Spirit of God. It's going to be one that you can use as an example. That's faith, folks. Now, we close with this. The Lord said in 2017, said in 2016, said in 2015, said a whole lot of back times. Ask and you will receive. How many know you have to have faith to do that? And your joy will be complete. Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. How many know it takes faith to be able to see that happen? Habakkuk. Everybody say Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk, but it's Habakkuk. I asked him. 2:2 says, write it down so that all can see and will be remembered in all the times of life. What we do each year at Celebration, and it's not just a nice little exercise. I left my card back. Will you give me one of those cards? Oh, I have a card. Never mind. I have a card right here. Give me another card. I'm sorry here. We're just sort of free today with the rain. Pass out every one of these. Everyone gets a card. Lupe, you know how important this is. It's happened. What I want you to do, what the Lord wants you to do, this is a very, very important card. It's not to be lost. It's not to be left aside. It is to be filled out. What I want you to do, and this is what the Lord says, 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, it shall be done by his Father which is in heaven. I want you to take the time to sit down, and I want you to write out five things that your request for the Lord in 2017. You have not because you ask not. Take the time and write down. We're not turning these in. The only thing, when it happens, I want you to tell me and we'll let you share. What are the five things that you want from the Lord this year? Don't fill it out. You don't have to fill it out now. We don't have time. I want you to take it and say, if you're married, talk to one another. If you're not, talk to God. What is it, Lord? What do I believe you for? I want to be married. How's that? Is it a good one?
Works for me.
Okay. How about you? Okay. How about you back there? Good? Okay. I have faith for that one too. Write them down. On the other side is the doer part. Dear Lord, write it this way. Dear Lord, lead me to make choices that bring you glory and allow me to experience the life you intended. My goals for 2017. We filled in one of the blanks for you. That's a good one. I would invite people to our church. Would you?
Yeah.
I just love the pastor. I love the people. People come in and say how much just a group that love one another. We're not a community church, we're a church community. Hallelujah. Invite them here. You catch them, we'll clean them. Write down, what are your goals? And then, my personal goals for 2017. This is what I want me to do, to change, to be. This is what I'm believing you, God, for this change in my life. April, would you come? This is a very important card. This is not to be taken lightly. This is important. Take the time before the Lord and allow Him to reveal to you what He wants to do through your life this year. Then when you got it filled out, tell you what, I'm going to do something special this year. When you got it filled out, bring it to me. I'm going to anoint it with oil, which is a seal of the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, I've got a concoction of oil that is absolutely fantastic. It works every time. Straight from the oil, from the olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what it says on the bottle. You bring it to me after you spent the time. I'm not going to read it unless you want me to pray with you. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to anoint it with oil. It's going to smell like fragrance of myrrh and cinnamon and all those kind of good stuff. Put it someplace where you go, oh, Lord, I believe that. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I can smell it, Lord. Thank you that you heard my prayers. I confess, God, I confess that these things are going to be realized. And you watch what happens. Because you know what this is? Everybody say faith.
Faith.
You don't fill out these things. You don't pray for something that you don't think you're going to get. It's foolishness and a waste of time. But if you have faith, Scripture says nothing is impossible. I want you to stand with me. How about let's all agree in 2017, the year of your and our breakthrough in every area. How many people have faith for that? Bow with me. Father, thank you again that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. That, Lord, nothing is impossible for those that believe. And there's things, God, that you put in our hearts to believe you for. And what you want to do is breathe on them and ignite them again. Things that, Father, that have been planted there for a long time. And you want to breathe on the ember because it's got ash around it. And when you breathe on it, it gets hot again. It becomes a passion in our hearts. And faith begins to rise. And we begin to say, Lord, I know we can do this together. I know that by your Holy Spirit, Father, that you desire to give me the desires of my heart. And I want this marriage to be exemplary. I want my relationship with you, my relationship with my kids, my relationship at work. God, I want that to be something that will glorify you in everything that I say and do. Now pick up that card, take a breath of the anointing oil, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I agree with you, church, each one of you, that God says, I want 2017 to be a breakthrough for you. Let's do it together and watch what we can do together. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
If you believe that, give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Amen. Amen. Ready? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know that he's incapable of letting you down? Isn't that awesome? He just says, let me prove it to you. I promise you that. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, bless my brother and my sister on my right and left. Let the Holy Spirit speak to them in such a way that they are encouraged for 2017. That you've gone before and prepared and orchestrated and divinely set things up so that they can see your love for them and your love through them. So bless them this week, God. Keep them safe. Keep them out of floods and all kinds of things. Thank you, Father. I agree with my brother and sister. And your word says, two agree, touching anything, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. Now let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, we lift our hands before you in a sign of posturing to receive. And we thank you, Lord, that your word says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither can the mind imagine the things that God has for those who love, called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. That means praise God. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we in agreement said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a hug and keep dry in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.